Amen, and He certainly is. Thank you. You may be seated. And we sung that hymn for a reason, because tonight we are going to be looking at the miracle of the storm stilled by the Lord in Mark chapter number 4. If you'll please turn with me there to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. On Sunday nights we've been enjoying studying the miracles of Christ, and tonight we will do once again as we look at the miracle of the storm stilled. In Mark chapter number 4, verses 35 to 41. Let's read these verses and we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Mark chapter number 4, beginning in verse 35. "And the same day when the even was come, he," that is the Lord Jesus, "saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask as we open your word tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself unto us in a greater way. Lord, help us to see that you are indeed our shelter in a time of storm. Lord, we sing the words of these hymns. We sing about your faithfulness, but Lord, help us to believe what your word reveals to us tonight about yourself. Lord, we must live by faith in the day in which we live, lest we faint and grow weary in our minds. Lord, help us, we pray, to be encouraged. Help us, Lord, to receive your rebuke so that we may grow from it and that you may be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we look at the account this evening in the book of Mark, I want to ask a question. Have you ever had a day when everything seemed to be going right? Everything seemed to be going well. It was a peaceful day, but suddenly at the end of the day, things changed. Suddenly the storm came, if you will, and not the kind of storm we are hoping to experience in Cairns with a bit more rain and a bit more of a wet season, which we haven't had, but I'm talking about the trial of the day. And everything was going well, and suddenly a problem happens, and suddenly a trial occurs, and you wonder to yourself, where did that peace, where did that calmness, where did that serenity you were enjoying that day suddenly disappear to? You know, things can happen quickly during the day, can't they? Things can happen in our marriages very quickly. Emotions can get flared up and we wonder how we got so upset. Things can happen in the workplace. Things can change. We may have a good start to the day in the beginning and suddenly at the end, a problem happens. You know, our life is full of trials. And as Christians, we need to understand that the storms will come in our lives. The storms will come. Now, for the disciples, they had experienced such a day. They had enjoyed a great day of the and witnessing the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen his miraculous miracles as he healed the multitude, as he ministered to the sick, to the lame and the blind. And then we see how the Lord taught his miraculous word. That's what the parables are. Those are miracles in his word. That's what he was teaching the people surrounding him up to this point. And at the end of the day, they gathered together and the Lord said, "Let us pass over the Sea of Galilee onto the other side." But the day did not end without a storm. And the Lord used that opportunity to teach his disciples some very important lessons. And tonight we are going to, by God's grace, learn a few lessons about dealing with the trials of life, when storms come? What will we do? And what can we learn from the disciples' example? Isn't it true that our life is filled with trials? Some of you may be going through a particular difficulty right now. Some of you may be in the storm right now and you're wondering, how can I get through this, and what way out does the Lord want me to take? And we'll learn some lessons to encourage our faith this evening. Notice with me Mark chapter number 4, two simple truths that we will see tonight. The first of them is that the Lord has a purpose for the storm. The Lord has a purpose for the storm. Notice verse 35. The Lord Jesus said this to his disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now you see, first of all, that it was the Lord's idea to go across the lake, wasn't it? Wasn't the disciples' idea? They didn't stick their foot in it. They didn't make a mess of it. It was the Lord's idea. And very simply, first of all, we see that the Lord had a plan. The Lord was in control. He's the one that instructed them to get in the boat, go onto the Sea of Galilee, and attempt to cross to the other side. You see, the Lord knew, would you agree, that a storm was coming. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He knows the end from the beginning. And the Lord knows, because He knows everything, we know His promises are sure, that in Romans 8:28, He works all things together for good. Why? Because He loves us. And He's always at work in our lives for our best. And that includes the storms. That includes the trials. That includes the difficulties. You see, He has a purpose for the trials that you and I are going through. He has a plan for us in them. Now, what purpose could the Lord have in allowing us to go through a trial? We know what we feel like. We feel like getting out of it straight away. We wish that it never happened. We would enjoy the calm seas of life. That's what we want, do we not? We don't like the storm. It's difficult. It's painful at times. And yet the reality is Christ has a purpose for it. Well, what's one of the purposes that the Lord might have in you and I facing trials and difficulties? Well, for His disciples, notice verse number 40, let's jump straight down there. What was the Lord's lesson for the disciples following the storm? And He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have," what's the next word? "No faith." So why did the Lord allow a storm to brew up in the Sea of Galilee? He was simply allowing a difficulty to occur in order to test their faith. In order to test their faith. He knew where their faith was at, but they did not know. And many times you and I would say, "Hey, I think I'm a pretty good Christian. Look, I think I'm relying on the Lord. I think I am living by faith. I look at the theme this year, the just shall live by faith. And I tell you what, I don't think I've arrived, but I think I'm doing pretty well. I think I am trusting the Lord." And isn't it so true that the Lord so often allows a storm to come into our lives, a difficulty, in order to reveal how not that we have little faith, but so often as Christians we have no faith. Now imagine if Pastor would sit down with you at a point and counsel you and say to you as a Christian, "I'm sorry, in this area of your life you have no faith." Now, how many of us would go like this and say, "Pastor, how dare you? You know, you can't talk to me like that. I know I've got a little faith, but some faith." But you see, the disciples had no faith. And the Lord allows trials into our lives to reveal to us that more often than not, in areas of our lives, in areas that we don't even know about, you and I are exercising no faith at all. No faith at all. You see, one reason why the Lord allows trials in our lives is because He seeks to test our faith. Where are we really at in the Christian life? Are we truly living by faith? Do you remember the first message in this series, "The Just Shall Live by Faith"? We use the illustration of mountain climbing. How many would attempt to climb Mount Everest, and we understand that in order for them to climb above a certain altitude, they need the help of oxygen. Without extra oxygen, they cannot survive at that altitude. And we compared that to our faith in Jesus Christ, and we understood that faith is the air we breathe in Jesus Christ. Without faith, we cannot live. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. It's the only way that you and I can live. When we are not living by faith, we are left gasping for air. We are left suffocating. We are left restricted in our lives. We stumble, we fall, we struggle because we're not living by faith. And the Lord doesn't want us to live that way, does He? No, He wants us to live in victory. He wants us to go from strength to strength. He calls us to live by faith. So often He will let that storm roll over the mountains of Cairns, if you will, like it did on the Sea of Galilee. The storm would roll over the mountains into the Sea of Galilee and brew up, and it would be a tempest that would be so fierce that, as you could read, the boat was filled with water. The waves would topple over, and sometimes that's how we feel. But remember, when the storm comes, first of all, God has a purpose for it. Why? Because He wants to show us where we are really at. How much faith do we truly have? You see, we might enjoy the calm seas and the peace and the serenity of the day, but the reality is a faith that is not tested is sure to remain a small faith. A faith that is not tested is sure to remain a small faith. See, the storms of life are where our faith grows best. You see, if our faith is like the air we breathe in Jesus Christ, well, the storms come. What does that force us to do? It forces us to breathe deeper, does it not? It forces us to rely on Jesus Christ more. It forces us to realize that you and I have nothing in our own strength and power to face this trial. And let me assure you, as Christians, God will continue to bring us to the end of ourselves in order so that we would live by faith. Coming to the end of ourselves. You see, the disciples were despairing, weren't they? How were they feeling? Well, the Lord knew. Verse 40, why are ye so fearful? They were afraid. They weren't trusting in the Lord. They weren't even trusting in the Lord a little bit. They were fearful, and the Lord said, why is it that ye have no faith? Why is it that you're not trusting in Me at all? You see, the Lord used that time to reveal to His disciples where they were really at, to encourage them to trust in Him, to encourage them to depend on Him. And the Lord allowed them to experience a trial in order to show them that they weren't living by faith. He was causing them to trust in Him in a greater way. And we need to see these storms of life as precious to us. Because why? God has a purpose for them. There's a reason. There's a purpose. You may not see the purpose from the inside, but God knows the reason. God has a purpose to test our faith, to reveal to us how much faith we really have. And tied closely to that, the Lord has a purpose for the storm, not only to test our faith, but that we would grow in our relationship with Him. Notice verse number 41. Notice the disciples' response after the storm was calmed, the wind ceased. Notice what they said. And they feared exceedingly. Now, what were they fearing? Who were they fearing? It was the Lord. Notice that they stopped fearing the storm and they started fearing the Lord. You see, in the storm, they learned something about their God, did they not? They learned something important that God did not want them to forget. They learned that the Lord is much greater than they believe Him to be. Perhaps some of the disciples weren't settled in their heart about who they were with, that they were with the Messiah, that they were with the very God in the flesh. And so often you and I live the Christian life, we think we're living by faith, but so often we put God in a box, don't we? In the box of the walls of our own mind. And that's who God is to us. We make another God, if you will. Not the God of the Bible, not who He reveals Himself to be. We come up with our own ideas of God. And so we constrain God, we restrict God, we put Him in a box, but He is so much more greater and so much more powerful and so much more present and so much more loving and gracious than we believe Him to be. But yet so often you and I do not live by faith. We don't believe in who He truly is. So what does God do? Well, He sends a storm. He sends a storm to shake us up. He sends a storm to cause us to come unto Him. He sends a storm to cause us to come to the end of ourselves. I don't know about you, but more often than not, when do I trust in the Lord? Well, when I come to that place of the end of myself. When I realize I'm helpless and hopeless, and I have nothing else but the Lord to lean on, and I cast my cares upon Him. And I trust He does the same in your life as He does in mine. You see, when we were saved, when we became justified, when we began this life of faith, how did we begin? We began by coming to the end of ourselves, did we not? We realized we were helpless, hopeless, decrepit, wretched sinners. We realized we were in deserving of God's judgment and eternal hellfire, and we repented of our sins and put our faith in Christ alone for salvation. We came to the end of ourselves. That's how our faith began. I trust that you've come to a point in your life where you receive Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I trust that you've experienced the gift of eternal life that He offers. But the only way that you and I can come to Christ for salvation is to come to the end of ourselves, to realize what we really are, hopeless, lost sinners, deserving of God's full wrath and judgment. But at the same time, the wonderful joy of the gospel in knowing that He loved us so much, that He died on the cross to pay for our sins. What a wonderful Savior we have. But my point is this. If the just shall live by faith, does that not mean then that God will continue to bring us continually through our lives to the end of ourselves? Yes or no? Because if that's how we began by faith, then we are also to live by faith. And the problem occurs when you and I think that we can live the Christian life in our own strength. When you and I think we can hop into the boat on the sea of life and we can pull up the mainsail, we can paddle across in our own strength, we know how to work a boat, we know how life works, and yes, the Lord is with us, but hey, I can handle this because I have a measure of faith. I think I'm doing pretty well. So the Lord allows the storm to come to reveal to us what our faith is really like. And that's good for us. Because the storm brings us to an end of ourselves. We come to the place where we realize, Lord, I really have no faith. But Lord, You're right there for me to depend on. And God teaches us more about Himself. He teaches us to lean on Him more. See, the disciples were in absolute awe and amazement of who Christ is. They no longer feared the storm, did they? They feared the Lord Jesus. They realized that He is God. And God causes us to know Him. Friend, how well do you know God? How well do you and I know God? Well, the answer to that question is found in how do you and I respond to God in the storm? Now, how did the disciples respond? I love what they said, because that's me. That's how I respond. What did they say to the Lord in verse 38, at the end of verse 38? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Translation, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They said to the Lord, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? So first of all, they said to the Lord, Lord, look what's happening to us. Don't you care? Secondly, Lord, are you going to allow us to die? What were they saying? They were saying, Lord, don't you love us? Aren't you looking after us? We thought you loved us. We thought you were God. And look at what's happening. You see, the Lord revealed to them where they were really at, what they really, really believed about Him. You see, that's what the storms do. They reveal to us what we truly believe about God. Because so often, isn't it true, our initial response is, Lord, why have you let this happen to me? Lord, how could I have suddenly come into this place of woe, of discouragement, of pain, of suffering? Why did you allow this storm? Lord, don't you love me anymore? Now that question in and of itself is a lie, because it's impossible for God not to love, for God is love. And He loves us with an everlasting love. But the reality is, God reveals to us how much we know about Him, how much we know of His Word. And my point is simply this, brethren. God has a purpose for the storm. If you're in the storm right now, let me encourage you not to despair. He wants to reveal to you and I where our faith is at. Why? So that we may grow. So that we may trust in Him in the storm. He wants to show us who he really is, because yes, we love the Lord and we love the peace of life. We love the joy of salvation, but only when the storm comes do we really learn to trust in him more. Yes, I need Christ for salvation, but parents, you need the Lord for your families. Amen? Storms will brew up in the home. What are you going to do when mum and dad argue as parents, as husband and wife? Is that the end of the marriage when storms come in the marriage? Or is it an opportunity to exercise faith in God and forgive one another and be humble and submissive to one another? Is it an opportunity in the home to pray together and admit, hey, we haven't been praying as a family. We've been trying to live life in our own strength, and God has sent a storm to show us how much we need him. Thank God for those times of growth in our family. Amen. Thank God for times where mum and dad are forced to their knees to pray for their children, because we just take for granted they'll be okay. And really, whom do we need? We need the Lord desperately. We need to come to the end of ourselves. So the Lord has a wonderful purpose. Don't see the storm as a problem, but it's an opportunity for faith. Thirdly, Christ's purpose for the storm, as we quickly move on, notice with me, verse number 36. An interesting thought. Notice verse number 36. As they launched out into the Sea of Galilee, the disciples with the Lord in the ship, notice what verse 36 says at the end. What does it say? And there were with them other little ships. So picture with me, as they launched out into the Sea of Galilee, they weren't alone in the boat. They were in their boat, but there were other little ships near them. Now, context would tell us that if there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, those other little ships were also affected by the storm. Whether they were in the midst of the storm or not, we do not know. But the reality is they were near enough to know what was taking place, and they were there in the midst. Now, who were these ones in the ship? Well, the Bible tells us that they sent the multitude away, but no doubt some continued to want to follow the Lord. Do you remember at times the Lord would send the multitude away and they wouldn't go? They were hungry and the Lord fed them. There were times where the Lord left and they followed him, and he came to rest and they came to be taught. So here are some more followers that came to follow the Lord. And the third reason I'd like to share with you why one of the purposes for the Lord allowing trials in our life, the storm, is for you and I to be an example to others. For you and I to be an encouragement to others. Just very simply, we're reminded that when you and I go through the storms of life, others are watching. In our homes, parents, there are little eyes watching. Whether it be our children or our grandchildren, they are watching and looking up to the faith of you and I. There are little eyes watching. In our church, there are other eyes watching our faith. Those perhaps who have not found the Lord as their Savior as yet. Perhaps those who have just become Christians and are growing in their faith and are seeking the Lord, they are looking to the faith of others. You see, to those ones following, the disciples were the inner circle. And as the storm brewed over the Sea of Galilee, they were watching on, knowing that the Lord was in the boat and saying, hey, I wonder how the disciples will respond in this storm. What are they going to do? And it's just a little reminder, is it not, that the Bible tells us none of us liveth to himself. We don't live in a little bubble that does not affect others. No, we live in a community, a family, in a church, in a city. And people are watching our faith, aren't they? People were watching the disciples' faith. And our faith influences others. And the wonderful thing is, though the disciples had no faith in this time, there were other times where they had great faith. And we know that the Lord used them wonderfully for his glory after his ascension. And the reality is, yes, it is a responsibility to live by faith, but it's a wonderful blessing when we are walking with the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing when we do grow, because we're able to encourage those who are watching on. Parents, you are able to encourage your children as you live by faith in the storm. As you realize, hey, they're watching me. You know, dads, what will you do when you lose your job? Yes, it's a time to panic, but is that the only option? Do we also have another option, men? Yes, we do. The just shall live by faith. And the Lord doesn't expect you to jump up and down with joy if you lose your job, but we ought to rejoice that God is in control. That God has a purpose for this storm. That if He has allowed it, it's for a reason. And it's not for you and I to be evicted from our homes and our family to be thrown out onto the street. No, God is at work. He'll provide another job. That's just one example. But so often we fear. We panic. We live in unbelief and we have no faith. And others are watching. And we need to take that on board and realize, yes, Lord, you do have a purpose. So instead of panicking, instead of falling apart and being cast down in our minds, we need to put our faith in the Lord. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what is the lesson you want me to learn from this? That's the question we need to ask. Not, Lord, don't you care, because He does care. Lord, are you trying to kill me, Lord? Sometimes we say that to the Lord. Are you trying to end me? No, that's not possible. The question we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what is the lesson you want me to learn in my life, in my family's life? And may the Lord be glorified as we allow Him to bring us into that difficulty for His glory. Well, the Lord has a purpose for the storm. Now, closely tied to that, as we continue to look at these verses, we see Christ's presence in the storm. Notice verse number 35. The Lord says two simple words. If you have a red-letter Bible, the first two words of what the Lord says in verse 35 are what? Let us. Now, what does that encourage you with tonight? Did the Lord send His disciples into the storm alone? Yes or no? No, in this case, the Lord said, let us go forth. Let us pass over to the other side. You see, the Lord went with them, did He not? The Lord was with them the whole time. He was right there with the disciples in the boat. And we need to remember as Christians that in every trial, in every storm, in every difficulty, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there with us. He is with us. He said to His disciples and to us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How can you and I live in victory when trials come? Well, we need to remember that God is with me. Amen? He is with me. Not just say that, but believe that. The Lord is with us. The Lord is here with me. The Lord is ever present with me. He never casts us away as His children. In fact, the Bible tells us wonderfully in the book of Psalms, does it not, how much He loves us and cares for us and shelters us under His very wings as His own children. What a precious picture of His loving care. But the problem occurs when you and I forget that Christ is with us. You see, the disciples forgot who He was. The disciples forgot that He was even there. They panicked. Maybe they were trying to empty the boat of water and bucketing the water out. Maybe they were trying to lower the sail and trying to steer the ship. Maybe they were trying in their own strength. But they forgot who was in the boat with them. They forgot that Christ was present with them. And I dare say if we are going through a trial and we would simply sit down for a moment and acknowledge, Lord, I know that You're with me in this trial. Help me to grow through it. I dare say you and I would not panic in fear. I dare say you and I would be strengthened in our faith just by simply understanding and believing that God is with me. When everything goes pear-shaped in the workplace, church family, God is with you. Amen. When tensions become difficult, occur in the home between parents and children and husband and wife, the Lord has not gone anywhere. The Lord has not fled the earth. The Lord is not sending brimstone and fire down upon you. No, it's an opportunity for faith. The Lord is with you. The Lord is there to strengthen you, to comfort you. In fact, He invites us, does He not? He says, cast your care upon me, for I careth for you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You, if you are overloaded and you cannot bear the pressures of life, the Lord said, you know what the solution is? You need to come unto me. I am there for you. But the problem occurs when we refuse to come unto Him. When we seek to try and sail that ship through the storm. without the Lord. Friends, He's present with us. We need to draw closer to Him. Dear Christian, are you in the midst of the storm tonight? Are you facing a trial? Are you panicking? Are you fearing what is to come? Maybe that storm has continued for a while. May I encourage you tonight to remember the Lord is right there. Though you may have thought wrong thoughts of Him that weren't of God, though you may have forgotten about the Lord, what a reviving truth that the Lord has never left you. The Lord loves you just as much, amen, as the day you were saved. We can never lose His love. We can never walk out of His love. We can never reject His love, because it is His love towards us that keeps us, not our love towards God. It is His love for us. He's with us, Christ's presence. Notice Christ's peace in verse number 38. Now, there's an interesting picture given to us in this miracle of the storm stilled, because yes, the disciples were panicking, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not even awake, was He? What does the Bible say He was doing? He was sleeping. Now, have you ever read these verses in frustration and thought to yourself, why was the Lord sleeping? Now, He knew what the disciples would experience, and maybe you felt like that before. It seems like the Lord is asleep. It seems like He doesn't care. And that's why the disciples went to wake Him up, and they said, Master, carest not that we perish? Lord, we're going to die here, and You're fast asleep. There was a reason why He was sleeping. The Lord knew what He was doing. There was a reason why. Why was the Lord Jesus sleeping in the boat? Well, notice where He was sleeping. He was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship. Now, that's interesting. That means the rear part of the ship. Where is the ship steered, ultimately? The back, the hind part. That's where the helmsman sits, does he not? That's where the helmsman is in control of the rudder and the ship. And what a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was in full control of everything that was taking place. And the Lord Jesus wasn't panicking. The Lord Jesus wasn't fearful. In fact, He was so at peace, He in fact was asleep. He was asleep. And what does the Bible encourage us with tonight is that the Lord, He is the captain of our salvation. He is our master. He is in control of all things. And the Lord wants us in the storm not just to not panic, but He wants us to experience the peace that He has. He wants us to experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You see, while the disciples panicked, the Lord was at peace. And there's a contrast there for us to learn from. What are we going to do? Now, if we draw close to the Lord, we can experience His peace, can't we, in the storm? What does the Bible say? Be careful for nothing. That means stop worrying about every little thing in life. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, Christ was at peace. And what He was doing was communicating to His disciples, you can experience the same peace. Disciples, you could have taken a rest in the boat. I truly believe they could have fallen asleep also, trusting in the Lord. Though these storms around us may rage, though the waves may topple us over in the Christian life, you and I can lay our heads down on our pillows at night in perfect peace because we trust in Him. Is that really true? Well, let's have a look at it in our Bibles this evening. Isaiah chapter 26. Not looking at too many different verses tonight, but let's look at one in the book of Isaiah. Thank you for turning with me there. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Why don't we read this verse aloud together? Isaiah chapter 23 and verse 6. Excuse me. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thank you, brother. Isaiah chapter 26. Verse number 3, on to, 1, 2. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. What happens when the storm comes? Well, we say to the Lord, Lord, why have you allowed this into my life? I was peaceful, everything was calm, everything was fine, but suddenly the storm has come. Lord, I don't want this. And the Lord says to us this evening that yes, we can have peace in the storm, but peace does not come as a result of a calm ocean, a calm sea, or a lack of problems. Peace comes only from God. That is true peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Church family, are you trusting in the Lord? Is your mind stayed upon him? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord through his word? The more we do, the more our mind can be stayed on him. The more we can rest in him. Though the storm may round us rage, we can rest in the Lord. You see, he's present with us in the storm. What a wonderful truth. We can experience Christ's peace. And his goal is not for us just to rest and relax once the storm is over. No, he wants us to rest in him during the storm. He wants us to experience that supernatural peace during the trials, so that when greater trials come, you and I can walk in greater faith. Now, the Lord also teaches us lessons when we fail, just like his disciples. And they did fail. They had no faith. And maybe the Lord wants us to learn from those failures of the past to say, hey, next time when the storm does come, I need to be quick to trust in God and stop trusting in myself. I need to be quick not to panic, but to pray. I need to be quick not to fear, but to put my faith in God, that he has a reason for this difficulty. He has a purpose in this. Though I may not know what it is, he has a purpose and he is with me in the storm. Well, notice Christ's power in verse number 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. Lastly, we see that the Lord has the power to end the storm. Does he not? Do we not see that with three words, the Lord stilled the storm, and there was the miracle? You see, the Lord is in control of all things. The Lord is in control of his creation. The Lord is in control of every infinite and finite detail in our lives. He is in control of everything. He is not out of control. He has not let go of us. In fact, he is in absolute control of everything that takes place. And he is able to end the storm as his will. He has the ability to quiet the storms in your life. He has the ability to end the storms in your life. He has the ability to give you peace during the storms of your life. But he is the one and he alone that has the power to do that. And let me assure you, just like the disciples, he will never let you go through anything that he will not lead you through to the other side. Amen? Never will the Lord allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able. That's the promise of God. So there is no storm that will come into your life and mine that he cannot lead us through to the other side. The storms of life will come. But how will you and I respond? Why are ye so fearful? The Lord said, how is it that ye have no faith? The Lord taught his disciples some lessons, didn't he? Absolutely. But will we learn those lessons tonight? Will we allow God to teach us those lessons in the storm? Let me encourage you to learn them. For if we learn them, then therefore we can go forward in our faith. We can press forward. I'm not sure what the Lord has revealed to you tonight, but let me encourage you to know he has a purpose for the storm. To test our faith, to teach us about himself, to be an example to others. We also know that Christ is present with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So how much more should we flee unto the rock that is Jesus Christ? When we are overwhelmed, we will cry unto we like the psalmist ought to say, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is how our faith should be. Dependence upon God, because he's with us. If he's with us, we can endure. We can sail through those stormy seas. And he is able to take us through with peace in our hearts. Now that trial will end eventually. That storm will end. But God wants our faith to continue to grow. So let me encourage you to learn those lessons of faith as we seek to live by faith this year.